Okay, so in the words of my favorite YouTuber, welcome everyone. Hello everyone and welcome. I'm Ondřej. I am part of the SUSE Manager Uni team who is working on this. And today I will show you about Unisalvut. Unisalvut. What the hell is Unisalvut? This is something we probably many people can't even pronounce. So we do some digging. What is it? So, uni. Uni, Saladar, the uni. Nice salt plain in Bolivia. Interesting features, fauna, flora. Yeah. But probably that's not why we are here. But that is the why uni is named by uni. So uni is basically some framework for managing your individual machines, data centers, servers, some content life-like things, configuration management, patch management. There are plenty of things which it can do. Originally, it is based on Red Hat Spacewalk, but it is long way away from this. We changed many things on this, including what is using for the configuration management, which is in this case SaltStack Salt. That's why it's named Uni from the salt lakes or salt deserts. And for this particular presentation, we will focus only on part of these topics, and that it's a little bit about package management, why we need it, and image building, which is of course if you are wanting to deploy images. This is quickly about Uni, and now it is what's the Saltboot. Saltboot is something which is unique for this. I haven't seen it anywhere else to be used in this way. It's basically specially crafted in Etadi, which is the initial RAM disk, the thing which is booted right after the kernel. And the thing is, what we added there is the complete salt stack, including that means including also Python. That has little side effects, like that is almost 400 megabytes in size, so it's much bigger than usual Etadis RAM disks. But it has some other pros, which I will talk about later. That's the one part, and the other part is the salt states and modules. Basically, in the salt infrastructure, you are always having some states which describe how you want your machine to look like, and in this special state, we describe that we want this image to be deployed over there and to partition it in this way and so on. And this is the server part of the Saltboot. Saltboot then, using these salt states, does the partitioning and file system deployment things and so on. This is also one of the many tries or instances how you can deploy over the network. Yesterday we had talk about the required magic carpet, which they basically tried to do the same thing using the Pixie boot or network boot to deploy the image. So this is the same, except it's based on salt and the configuration it's on different it's stored on different place than in the image itself. So from here we are because this talk is I made it as from the user perspective. I will not go really into the details how it's implemented, and so we will be focusing just on the actual image deployment, not how it's implemented. But if you are interested in the details, in 2018 in Prague OpenSUSE conference, I had this talk named Just Saltboot, I guess, and there I was talking about how it works in the salt itself and how to do with the pillars and so on. So this is our task today. So we have Uni server, we have target machine which you want somehow to deploy the image. We've described what is Uni, so we are already done with this. We don't know what means for now, what means to deploy and what means the image. So we will start with the images for now. Images, we are using Kiwi images as good SUSE people, because in SUSE the Kiwi is used everywhere, so we use this as well. It has some perks. And for Kiwi, in Kiwi you specify some templates, some XML files, and in which you describe how the image should work. And we also provide these profiles. They are on the provided link. If you can read the QR code, you can maybe access directly. But Kiwi is able to build multiple different type of images: ISO images, OM images, VM Daiki, some hybrid images. We are interested in KISS images, which were formerly known as Pixie images. Pixie has a kind of bad connotation that it's always for Pixiewood, but it's not really just for it. With some slight scripts, you can deploy it on USB stick and deploy it from USB and download anything from and basically do USB boot. So kernel initari system is better description for these images, because at the end result from the Kiwi is you have kernel, you have special initari, and you have a file system image, which you can deploy then on some partition. And all of this building, all of these images, building of them is fully integrated with Uni. So what does it mean that this is fully integrated with Uni? So here I will make a slight detour so we can know how to get these images. When I want to build image, I need to have some image sources, package sources. I need to have some recipes how to this image should be built. This is in case these are the image templates. Then I need to have a place where I want to build these images, and then I need to place where I store these images and download them from. So with the packages, this is where we are back with Uni. Where the package, the source for all of this is Uni. Now Uni has an interesting concept here with this package management, and it's divided in three parts for our purposes. The first one is the product. When you install your Uni, you doesn't have anything in it. First thing, if you want to use Uni for some sensible purpose, is to synchronize some product. Be it OpenSUSE Leap or be it Slab, whatever. The first thing, you synchronize the product. This is simulating, or this is something similar as SMT or RMT, when you just pull every package from the upstream down to your server and store it here. When you synchronize the product, you will get so-called channels. Now this is basically how we work with Uni, and we are working on this channels abstraction. With this, you can do really magical things, like doing some promotion between different environment. That means that when you synchronize, you can freeze channels on some package versions. Then when updates arise, you will create new channels. I'm simplifying a little, but you create a new channel. Test them out, promote them to the freezes, frozen one, and so on. So this is all in a content lifecycle management framework, and it's a topic for a longer talk for other time. So now we have channels, and we need to somehow make them, did I want just one key or some one string which will describe whole list of channels I want to use. So for this, we have the activation key concept. Basically, you create one key, you assign different channels for it, and every time the key is used somewhere, it will take these channels and assign it to either machine or to image building or whatever. You can also, there is a little hint, if you can see, there is in the list of the child channels in the there is one which is not from Slay, it's Draku Devil, And this is how we get some custom RPMs, for example, in it. You create a custom channel, and then you can, with this custom channel, you assign some repository, and it will synchronize this repository to the uni. And you can add this channel to the, or this custom channel to the activation key, and then it will be passed to the machines which are managed by uni. Just a little hint. So with this, we are done with packages. Now with image templates, I mentioned that we provided in Saltboot, there was a link to our repository. So that's the part from the source. But we still need somehow in uni to know that we want to use these packages, these sources, with these specific templates. For this, in uni, we have image profiles, so-called image profiles. In these profiles, there is some, again, graphical web UI interface, or XML RPC, or JSON RPC calls, where you create some under some label, you pass the URL to the repository, or to the local local path, where are your templates, and down there, there's activation key, you select which one activation key you want to use, and that would link together the templates and the channels, so you can build it, so you now have the sources. So we are using some templates linked with the packages in previous steps. The third thing is where we build the image. Just quickly, when you have some managed machine in a uni, you can promote it. Down there you can see, you can promote it as an image build host. You click that, apply state apply the changes to this machine, and uni will automatically install all you need, like Kiwi, Git, some other tooling which is needed, and it will automatically prepare the build host for you. It is recommended to be either VM or real hardware somewhere else, and also critically, this is the important part of security of the chain, of the supply chain. So when you are, for example, big company and you are building images somewhere, build hosts are one of the critical parts of the security here. So you need to take care that they are somehow protected together with uni itself, of course. So now we have almost everything. The last part is image repository, and the image repository is uni itself. So we now do synchronized channels, created image profiles. We have a build host, and the build host, now we can trigger the build itself. There is just one UI for it. You select the profile in previous step. You select build host, because you may have multiple of them, different architectures, different OSs, and so on. So you select this, build it, and wait until image is built. So we are now, this is how are we now, in our automated image deployment. We asked BuildHost to build image, and it gave us the image, and now we are back in deploying the image. So we specify what is image, we now know what this is, we still don't know what it means to deploy. When we say deployment, usually, there are plenty of examples. Most usually it is just a DD some file to some disk drive, and then others. When we are talking about automated deployment, we certainly don't want to use some manual commands. So as I was mentioning before, this is basically another attempt another idea how to do a networking deployment from the using the Pixie technology from the 90s using TFTP, which is from 80s. UEFI is maybe it's little newer, And then, of course, HTTP UEFI, which is newest. Yeah, it's still, I don't know, 10 years maybe, but not many hardware are supporting the HTTP UEFI, even though it is probably the fastest, just because of it eliminates the TFTP protocol, which is simple, resource intensive, and slow, and not really a good fit, for example, with Kubernetes ecosystem. HTTP is quite a good fit there. This is one step which is outside of Unity, which is not managed here. In my scenario, we need to somehow trigger this Pixie booting. And I'm talking now with the regular one, with the TFTP. This is the most code we will see in this talk. This is configuration snippet for the DHCPD server. Basically, it supports everything. There is the first section for HTTP boot, UEFI TFTP, and regular TFTP. So you just put this into your subnet configuration of the DHCPD and restart it. What it does, it just instructs the network firmware that the next server, on this next server, it should ask for this file and then pass the execution to it. One note for secure boot, instead of group FAI, you want a shim FAI in case of secure boot, because group itself is not signed for secure boot. But we are talking about TFTP now, which is a little annoying. So how do we get the TFTP server? Here comes UniProxyPod. Now this is a completely new thing, and it provides five containers. It has some squid cache for packages and images, TFTP router. I'm specifying router because it's basically not a server. We are using Facebook TFTP library. And this library is just implementation of TFTP server in the Python, but it doesn't do anything, like it doesn't provide any files. On top of this library, there's our wrapper, and it does that as soon as there is TFTP request, it looks what this kind of request it is, and it transforms this to HTTP request. And it then passes it through the Apache, which I didn't print here, through the squid cache, and obtain the file we requested. So when you want Pixie configuration, it goes to a TFTP router or TFTP thingy, and then it's converted to HTTP GET request, and it is then returned, and it will translate it back to a TFTP response and send it back to the client. This is a new thing, and as I was telling, and the last two things, Salboot Broker, SSH Tunnel, they are mainly there because you can run this proxy pod, proxy containers, either in some shared network space, but you can have some dedicated networking for your machines. And when you have dedicated networking, you may want to have them isolated from the general internet. So this acts as a middle proxy that every request, everything what the client needs, they can't access the regular internet, it's not routed, not forwarded, but they need to go for salt connection through Salt Broker, for HTTP we go through Apache, and SSH tunnel is mainly to from Uni to be able to access these machines through all of these isolations. So I will briefly tell about the proxy. We have two options. We have Podman pod and Kubernetes deployment through Helm chart. Now the Kubernetes deployment is not yet merged in the Uni itself, but it's in the repository. It's ready to be merged, but we are waiting for all the latest releasing things to be done. We have web UI for it as well, so you don't have to go to the command line, but you can configure it in the web UI. But it's a rather large formula, and using the command line, it's really easier. This first thing will create the proxy configuration for you, called config DGA in the release version it's zip, but then we found out that zip is not really Slim Micro, so we can't use unzip, so we of course changed it to tarball. So this command will generate tarball with the proper configuration, and then we will copy it to the and extract it in the container host, and then we start the proxy pod. Now you may ask where we do get these systemd services. Now the systemd services in the package we provide from Uni tools, and to get to the Uni tools you need to have that the container host needs to be salt registered to this Uni salt client for it. So then you might ask, why don't we have this in a state when it's already a salt client? Well, the question is that initially this was supposed to be a standalone system. You don't need it to be managed by CUNY. Then we found out that we don't have yet infrastructure for it. So now it's in a hybrid state that you need to be registered to the UNI, but still there is no pre-created salt state, but that may change, but this will work anyway. So with this, that's when you start it and look through the podman pod, through the containers, you will see 5 containers, all configured with it. And the name of this proxy example, or this should be the FQDN under which these containers are reachable. So this is something which other machines will use. So this is then passed to the other to the containers. For interesting, the config tarball, if you extract it, it will contain the certificates for validation. It will contain the validation of the that the UNI upstream server has the correct certificate. It will also use some SSH keys, which are known for a UNI, so UNI can access it through this proxy pod to the client, and some configuration bits. There are something which can be changed, but supported way is like this. So we can how we are now standing. Now we already have the image. We have the proxy pod with the TFTP server, and we now can somehow deploy the machine. Since I already talked about that we have the Salboot entity with takers of deployment, so we now can change it to here that we basically salboot the image on the machine. Now there are questions like I was talking that we have one image, but you can build, you have 10 images, 15 images. So how do you know like which image you want to deploy? I was also talking about partitioning, but I didn't specify any partitioning so far. So these are the questions which we need to answer and how we approach it. Now, in the SALT, everything, if you are not familiar with the SALT, I specify the SALT state, what are they? They talk about how the machine should look like. Now, to get some data to it, to some trustable data, in a SALT, we use SALT pillars. SALT pillars are unique for the individual machines, or in case of UNI, we have some advantages that we can create group pillars for some specific groups, not only for individual machines but for group of the machine. And these pillars are the sort of truth, and these pillars contains all the required information we will then provide to the salt states. How do we do that? We have so-called Saltbullet group. In uni, we have so-called system groups. These system groups are just regular, just organized for organizational purposes. You create a group and put a bunch of machines in there, so you can better organize things. Now, with the Saltbullet, you are able to add a formula which is called Saltbullet formula. Formula is a fancy name for salt states, and in this case, just salt pillars. It provides the interface, the formula, the form, where you need to fill a bunch of things. For the Saltbullet group is related to the proxy pod. So each machine which will be building through this proxy pod will get these data, these specified in here. And here we specify where to download image from. You may ask why we need to specify this when we know the uni, when we know the master server. Well, the idea is that still not abandoned idea is that we may have some third-party content delivery system. So there is some we need to put something to the where to download the image. Usually you put not the uni there, but the proxy itself, so it goes through the SQUID system through the caching. You can specify other things like what image you want to boot, what image should be the default one to boot. Because when your new machine is booting up, there's still some you don't have any information about it, but the PXE need to provide some image to it. So either it takes the newest, or you specify some specific one. Now it's not so much relevant since SLI 11 is away, but maybe for if you experiment with a 32-bit tumbleweed, for example, when you have mixed 64-bit and 32-bit, you have to put some specific boot image here, which is 32-bit, because you can't boot 64-bit images on 32-bit hardware, but vice versa is possible. So when you have mixed environment, you need to put something which is here. With ARM, it's a different thing, because with ARM, we have a different deployment mechanism. There's still need some USB stick involved or something deployment on a memory card, but that's in the documentation. I will not bother with these details. Yeah, and one last thing about is the naming, because you may or may not have host names already specified for this machine you are trying to boot. And for organizational purposes, the Saltbullet needs to prepare somehow the naming of the terminal, the machine you are deploying. And if it tries, default is just a host name that it will prefix the name with the Saltbullet group it is part of. So when you have a list of machines, you immediately know what is this machine part of from what proxy it is part of. Then there is some random suffix which prevents some conflicts with salt, because salt allows only one machine with the same ID. If you try to onboard another machine with the same ID and it's a different key, it will decline the key. So there is a random suffix. But both can be disabled if you change, for example, to use fully qualified domain name, because FQDN should be unique. But so the Saltbullet is trying to do reverse lookup of the IP addresses it got. If it finds any FQDN or some host name, it will use it if it's instructed to do. But if not, it will construct the name using the hardware type of the machine. I will talk about it later. So you can change the naming here and so on. As soon as you save this, the PXE menu is generated with the configuration you specified here. There's a little background info. We as in UNI Actually not writing the configurations for this by hand or by Java code. Underneath is another installation server, which is called Cobbler. And all this are tightly integrated. When you build image, which is KISS image, it will automatically create a Cobbler distro for you and some initial Cobbler profile. And when you create this salt group, it will create another another Cobbler profile, but a visible one in the menu and using the distro either by what you specify in default image or the latest one. So by this we can answer the question where from we will get the image and what image we want. What the default image we want from to boot from. Now we need to answer the partitioning. Same concept. So again, salt-boot it's a formula now called just salt-boot formula, and it's again one group. But there may be some. It can be done a little differently if you try to experiment. I mean, if you are booting just one machine, you can pre-create the profile for the machine, and you can assign the partitioning for only for one particular machine, or assign this formula together to the salt-boot group, and then all of the machine booted from this salt-boot group will share the same configuration. But there is a problem when you have multiple groups, and then there is a clash between pillars and it's not supported, so Uni will warn you that you really shouldn't make this. Anyway, it's UI form. When you save it, similarly with the other one, it also creates the pillar. The pillar is basically some YAML file. So if you are not fancy of the web UI, you can still write YAML file by hand in the correct places. Consult salt documentation how to do so, but you can do it in the files and then use it as well. Okay. One jump and our hardware type groups, as I was specifying about the hardware type. This is a special group with special naming, where you can took SMBIOS information, manufacturer and hardware and system type. And when you name it with using these details, the Uni when it detects clients with the same as the SMBIOS information, it will automatically join the machine to this group. And when the pillar is already assigned to this group, it will get this partitioning. And in this partitioning, you also specify the name of the image you want to deploy, so it will deploy the image. Now, this is a secret, because I always call this as a salt boot everywhere, but this is basically the retail thing. I don't want to use retail. I didn't want because every time I use retail word, people got scared and run away. So that's why I am just telling this as a salt boot. But the idea about this is you have a store, you have 50 identical machines, and these are identified with the same hardware type. You want all of them to have the identical image. So you have hardware type group, you specify their concrete partitioning for these machines, concrete image to this machine. This machine boot up, joins this group, get its pillar, and salt-boot can deploy it. And of course, if you have different type of machines, you have different type of hardware type groups, and you can select different images for different machines. So how are we now? So we have basically almost image all the whole picture. We have image. We have pillars, partitioning, so we can try to deploy it. Now we go to the question to the security of this thing. So that if I have an image, how can I prevent some just some random people coming to my you know, either joining Wi-Fi or just you know, plugging into this network socket and get all this data from me. In Salt, when you first connect to the Salt Master, or when the Salt Minion is, which is the client here, it's first started, it generates some certificates for itself, and then present these certificates to the Salt Boot, to the Salt Master. It is visible something like that. This is a screenshot from some older version, and so when you boot Salt Boot, it will boot, until you appear, you get some notifications on the top of the screen. You get some that what Salt Master is being used, then if that it's waiting for keys and so on. And when it connects to the Salt Master through proxy, when everything is working, you get the name of the machine. In this case, it's because of the retail, it's called Terminal ID. This you can see how it's constructed. The first thing is the name of the Salt Boot group. Then you will have the SMBIOS info, which in this virtual machine is overwritten by SUSE and tester graphical. And then you have some random thing, but it's no longer this long. This is really old screenshot, I think, 4 years maybe. So now it's really, really, it's a little more different. And then you have fingerprint of the certificate of this minion. And the fingerprint you see also on the unit itself. So you compare what some fingerprint you see on the terminal or the machine, what you have on your uni system, and if it matches, you accept it. Now this is not useful really for deploying hundreds of computers in these stores or banks or whatever. So there are some ways how to avoid it, like using shared secret. It is called auto-sign grains. You can inject, or you can inject to initRD some special secret, or you can have some extra storage for it. And if it's configured, the Salt Minion, the client, will send these grains to the master, and if master compares it, see, aha, I know this, and will let you in automatically.
But does this really help? Because it's always the first connection, and if you have a man in the middle at the first connection, and you don't have a different path than the network, you always are in trouble.
The idea is that the fingerprint will not match if someone is in the middle, because they will have, they don't have, the private key is on the middle. Yes.
Path that you have the terminal and compare it. Yes.
Yes, of course. And in the case...
But if you do that, if you want to automate
that, yeah,
you actually need a different path besides that.
Well, when you have the auto-sign grains, for example, on USB stick, which you can insert it, the thing is how the Salt Minion sends it. On the first connection, these auto-sign grains are sent together with first connection. So even when it's untrusted...
But that's the first connection where you actually rely that there is no man in the middle.
Yeah, but as far as if I understood correctly...
So the only way I see at the moment would really be to have a crypto token, something with a separate disk that you provide from a different path. So in that case, I would agree and say, okay, this is a different type of how you get it there.
Yeah.
And then if it matches, then it's okay. But just on the network, it's always a problem.
Yeah, I will need to think more about it. But
if you can do it over a disk, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. If you inject in any tardy, you can intercept, because TFTP is not secure there at all. That's the TFTP part is the thing which is.
But it's not only TFTP.
In a tardy completely. Yeah.
If you have someone getting in there and putting some machine up, and you do not know that it's a different machine than what you expect, you are always busted.
Yeah. I will need to talk. We can discuss this later. But I think that there should be some some validation, but I can back to it first. But it's true that there is still some things to improve, because this all thing can also be completely disabled on Saltmaster. You can even disable or completely any validation, auto accept everything, even though it's discouraged. The thing which is recommended is to have this second channel when you compare the fingerprints. If I can, no. As soon as you accept the key and validate, assuming that you validate the key that is right, this is before any image is deployed. This is before anything. So this is just the init RD. When you validate the fingerprint is correct, so you trust this machine, then it will get salt pillars which are encrypted between and in this case, in that pillars you have the image name and the image hash. So when you try to intercept, for example, the image, it will, but then after deployment it validates whether it's correct image or not with validation. And you can also build encrypted images in Kiwi, and the password for mounting or decrypting this image or mounting the encrypted partition is also passed through the pillars. So this way you can, when someone stole the machine with the disk deployed, they can't do the decryption keys, because decryption keys come from the salt system, salt pillars. Yeah, but the first thing about the autosign grains, I will need to check this. Okay, and that's what I was telling the image validation. When image is downloaded, the hashes is computed of the deployed image, and it's compared from what is in the pillars. In encryption, it is passing the encryption keys. So the final picture is like this, the workflow. We have a uni server, we have build host, we build image. We configure proxy. This is just one time job, of course. We don't need to do that every time, but you need to have some form where the TFTP server is, and then the machine. We need to validate the fingerprint, and with this, we also tell uni that to which proxy we belonging to. We validate it, so this is accepted, and we pass the saltboot pillar for it and apply the saltboot state. The saltboot state says that do the partitioning, and then says what image they want, and the image is passed back and deployed on the machine, which then continue booting, and at the end it will ping back when the machine is booted. It ping back to the uni because uni wants to know everything about the machine, the hardware configuration, the software deployed, for some inventory reasons, for some monitoring whether the packages are updated and so on. And it makes no sense to do this validation in the init RD. So all of the validation is postponed until the machine boot pings back that it's ready. If you are doing the regular bootstrap of the machines, so the machine's already installed, this step is done basically immediately after you accept the fingerprint that you notice. And just one quick thing about uni images. When you build the image, uni does the inspection of the image, and it gathers all the packages which are used for it, package versions. And then it is comparing with its own database, and it monitors for you whether the packages are updated or not. It notifies you whether there is some CV reported against it. But unlike the build service, it does not do manual image. It does not do automatic image buildings rebuild. You need to manually rebuild it. So you have some stable or controlled environment. So the images are not changing under your hands. Yeah, and I am 4 minutes over my time. So I will be available for any questions, and we can discuss this, check this, how it works in with the AutoSign grains, and so after it.
Different question here.
Yeah.
What architectures are you supporting?
We have x64-bit and ARM Raspberries.
Okay, no others.
No others yet. At least we didn't try it yet. So. Yeah, if you are interested more on for a uni, you just look at our homepage, and there is a link for Git repository and documentation. This SAL boot is documented under the retail section if you are looking for it. Okay, thank you.